Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right, here we go on a Wednesday. It is Cody and Gold. We're live up in St. Joe. This now it feels like camp, Cody. Today it actually feels like camp. We were here on Monday, which was nice, but we got fans all around us. We got the full team out there practicing for the next hour or so. And later on in the show, we'll be joined exclusively by Clyde Edwards-Alaire here on 610 Sports Radio.
It does feel real. And we got to do this speculation now. It's like, oh, I know what the second team offensive line looks like. Pink will be so happy to find out who's running where. It's really just for him and him alone. But the fact that two rookies were on the first unit matters. My guy Ben Neiman was in the first group of starting linebackers.
I know you're thrilled about that. I know you're absolutely thrilled.
It was his birthday yesterday, so I'll leave it alone. But when we look at the crew, at least now we're starting to get a sense of how they're at least planning to do this in the early going. It doesn't mean everything, but the fact that there are, you know, players running with ones and twos and actual starters. Well, again, we were here on Monday. Quarterbacks we had never heard of were handing the ball off to Eric Bieniemy, who hadn't probably taken a hand off at least in a game in a little while. So that's the mix. And now, you know, we could actually see Patrick Mahomes throw deep passes to people again. So that's a good feeling.
No question. And also, you know, it's the individual drills still and workouts with individual position groups, I should say. Later on, they'll get into the team drills. We'll keep an eye on that because it is interesting to see, at least when the offensive line was working together. Yes, it was rookie Creed Humphrey lining up at center. It was the rookie Trey Smith lining up at right guard. And that might shift when they get into team drills here in just a little bit. But at least the first time out here, that's something to keep an eye on. And I think if we were to go through and we continue our conversations that we had before camp started up, we were thinking as that was possibly going to be the case, and would Rimmers be the right tackle? Right now, that is how they've lined up. Rimmers, the veteran at right tackle, not Niang at this point, but it's certainly going to change. I'm sure we'll see it as camp goes on, as it progresses, and just what they get a feel of. But right now, we're actually still getting our first look at this about
just seven
an hour
seven
into practice.
Yeah. I was keeping an eye out. I wasn't going to say anything. I wanted to see what happened on the play.
I was wondering.
It was pretty unremarkable, if we're being honest. It was a Patrick Mahomes slant, 7-on-7. The pass was complete, if you're curious what happened there. But it is nice, you're right, to be at camp and actually get a sense of what everybody's going to do. Now we can get, you know, a feel for the team. And obviously this is the first time, you know, the thing I would say is this is the first time in 2 years a fan has stepped foot up at camp in St. Joe for Kansas City, because it's just been so long now with COVID. You know, the crowd already for day one, and this is mostly the season ticket events and stuff like that, it's really good.
And I think if you continue to see as the practices progress, it'll be interesting to see on Saturday, which is the first day of Family Fun Day and everything like that, where you're going to have more and more fans out here. Saturday's always one of the bigger practices. But to see the crowd, this is our first time, obviously, you and I doing a show from St. Joe with fans. And some of these players, too, we're going to talk to Clyde later on. He hasn't experienced a training camp in St. Joe. He hasn't experienced a training camp with fans or anything like that. So it's definitely a different atmosphere. And now it feels like, okay, football is here. Today's the first day where it really felt like football's actually here, more so than on Monday. No
Although
question about that.
Although he did play spring games at LSU, so he's probably a little familiar with a heavily attended practice, at least from some point.
We'll get to our camp question of the day coming up here in about 8 minutes or so, but the story heading into today a little bit, and this seems to happen now every single time one of the better players in football demands a trade, everybody immediately says, well, the Chiefs need to go out and get that player. That's the position the
I said
Chiefs
that with Julio.
You did, and that's the position the Chiefs are going to find themselves in, I think, time and time again. The latest is Xavien Howard, the corner for the Miami Dolphins, who wants out of Miami now. He's unhappy with his contract despite getting a contract that 2 years ago made him the highest paid cornerback in football. Now he's around the fifth or sixth highest paid corner back in football, and so now he's sitting there in Miami, a team that some people think is on the rise, depending on your belief in Tua or not. But
I think a lot
last
of it's
year,
dependent on that.
No question, but at the same time, he wants a new contract, and so I guess I don't understand why every single time a player says he wants to be out of his current organization, that we automatically assume that, oh, well, the Chiefs should go out and should go out and trade for him. It doesn't make sense financially.
It keeps coming up in positions of need, though.
Well, this team has shown that they're not going to invest heavily in the cornerback position. They have Tyrann Mathieu, who we'll find out if they're willing to invest. Here we are, by the way. We'll get to that.
He's here.
Frank Clark's here. But Tyrann Mathieu does not have a new extension. Nothing has come out about that. And here he is at his first practice of 2021. But Xavien Howard, he's the fifth highest paid corner, Cody. He wants to be the highest paid corner. Where does that work in when you already are trying to get an extension done with Tyrann Mathieu? Next year, you're going to have to get something done with Orlando Brown Jr., Tyreek Hill. It just doesn't make any sense. From a pure talent standpoint, yes. Xavien Howard, add him to the cornerback position, then all of a sudden you're talking about one of the better cornerback groups in football.
I get the idea, because a lot of times when these conversations come up, it's like, well, the Chiefs knew a number two wide receiver, an ex wide receiver, and then Julio Jones is available, and you're like, yes, absolutely, that's the one. Or the Chiefs always feels like they could use a corner, and then you're like, yes, absolutely, please give me corner Xavien Howard to be the best corner on the team, no doubt, right? Even if you love L'Jarius Sneed, and that would seemingly now start to look like an elite unit, not just a good unit. The problem in this case is, are we just, I'm salary cap is fake guy, but he wants to be the highest paid corner in the NFL. How's that supposed to work? Even if you said, come here, Xavien, and we will make you the highest paid corner next year. The Dolphins aren't going to work it out this year. You know that. They already told you they didn't want to give you the money. So come see us, and then next year we'll make you the highest paid corner in all of the NFL. If you do that, maybe you can convince them. But that does mean exactly what you just said. People are forgetting about the domino that happens there. If they went with Xavien Howard, that means no more Tyrann Mathieu. You are not paying both. That would be a thing that did not happen. So how would you like to handle this, Chiefs fan? Do you want the guy who everyone seemingly wants to bring back, or do you want the guy who's already unhappy in Miami?
And if I'm the Dolphins, I'm not trading him. I just gave you 2 years ago a contract that made you the highest paid cornerback in football.
That's
here you
just
are
how
2 years
it works.
Later, and
2 years later, you're not going to be the highest paid. That's how this works.
Yeah, and if you're the Dolphins, you can't trade him, Cody, because he's in a position where he is on a team that feels like they're on the move, on the rise, that they have a chance to take that next step as an organization.
That's how they built their defense.
And that's the strength of their team. You lose Xavien Howard, there's no the talent. Nobody's questioning the talent of him. He would instantly make this Chiefs defense so much better. But I just don't think, much like I told you a couple days ago about Chandler Jones, let's be honest about what the financial means would be to get it done. And you're talking about brand new contracts. Why would you want to do that? We already are sitting here. I mean, today should be the example. Today, Tyrann Mathieu was not still able to get an extension from the Kansas City Chiefs, and you want them to go give up draft capital to go get a corner that wants to get paid next year as well? It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, there's just no value in it, right? There's not enough value. Let me put it that way. The cost to do it, and this is another one of the situations like we were talking about the other day, is we're not only just factoring in the he wants the money part, it's he wants the money and he wants the pick. And the Chiefs have done that, and honestly, this is where you have to make careful decisions. There'll be another time where Kansas City trades for a player on the final year of his deal and gives him a huge contract just like they did with Frank Clark. And we've had a conversation. If you ask me as a whole, did the Frank Clark contract work? The answer to that question is yes. Because they won a Super Bowl and they went to two. Is it working now? Absolutely not. If you were given other options for players you could have signed or something instead at that time, would you have considered it? Probably. But it's hard to go back and say, I would have done it differently when you win the Super Bowl. And so eventually that will happen. You'll give up another first-round pick and a second-round pick, and you'll go get a guy, and then you'll pay him big money because he's the perfect thing you need. But this roster was good enough to go to the Super Bowl last year, and it's certainly good enough this year. I don't push the need at all to try to, you know, get Xavien Howard there.
And if we're talking about the cornerback group, it's important to know, at least so far at camp today, it's just day one for everything, but I know Pete Sweeney was keeping an eye on this as well. He had tweeted out that at left corner was where you saw Charvarius Ward and you saw L'Jarius Sneed at right cornerback, and then Hughes entering at right corner, and then Sneed would go to nickel during the nickel looks as well. So just something to keep an eye on where the secondary is kind of looking here on the first full day of training camp. Just some of the other position groups to keep an eye on as well. The first three linebackers, as you brought up Ben Neiman, but just I wonder, are we going to continue to see that? Like if I told you what's more likely a week from now, that Ben Niemann is still with Anthony Hitchens and Willie Gay, or that Trey Smith is still getting first-team reps at right guard and Creed Humphrey's the first-team center a week from now?
Oh, I think it's more likely Ben Niemann still playing.
Yeah.
And then it's Trey some Smith other. Part. Yeah, yes.
I'm with
Come
you.
On.
No, that's why I was asking.
This
because
is
I'm
what
with
I
you.
Said it's about day one. Bolton. Like, this was the problem I always had.
Because it's exciting. Look, I think we're all thrilled. I mean, if all goes well, Creed Humphrey's your center. You want Trey Smith to be your starting right guard, meaning he beat out a couple veterans, meaning you've got, for the next couple of years, the right side of your offensive line is going to be fairly inexpensive, yeah, where you're going to have to devote all this money on the left side of your offensive line. So, like, coming out here today.
That's always the
first
future
look,
plan, but the question is, does it happen this year?
For sure. But but best case scenario is it does happen this year, because one, that means that Trey Smith beat out the veteran options, LDT, for example. I know LDT hasn't played football in a year. We'll get a good look at him today as well. But that just means you all of a sudden got an absolute steal in the sixth round, which is what people have been talking about, but we have to actually see it. And today, first sign is they're going to give Trey Smith an opportunity, it appears, as they're doing, as you said, 7-on-7 drills, and he continues to get more of the reps at right guard.
By the way, right in front of us, by the way, is where the defensive linemen are working, just specifically defensive ends. Chris Jones is working specifically with just the defensive ends. Him, Frank Clark, Taco Charlton, and you obviously see Tim Ward, big fan Tim Ward, as you remember, all out there working with the defensive ends. So that part of it, at least there. But, yeah, he continues to get the work. But if that made me guess, it's more likely Ben Niemann is the starter week one than Trey Smith still, just because I know that they're comfortable with that.
We're going to be up here in St. Joe, the only show broadcasting during Chiefs practice in Kansas City. We'll be up here for about 15 or so other practices. And each day we're going to take a little deeper look, some questions that we have. Nick's got our first camp questions.
Questions.
That's right, Alex. Camp questions live from St. Joe's. So this is going to be a segment we'll do every day from training camp. Every player has questions, big questions, small questions. So we'll take a look at a different player each day, and I'll ask you guys the three most pressing questions about those players. Simple enough, right?
I feel like I'm on Maury with this, but yeah, I got it.
All right, first player. Charvarius Ward, naturally, he's going to be the player we start with. Question number one, guys, is Charvarius Ward going to be worthy of an extension at the end of this season?
Interesting. Yeah, I want to hear Cody's answer, because a year ago you wanted him to get an extension.
Go ahead and extend him, because I thought he'd still be cheap to do it. He then had his worst year as a pro in Kansas City. He is still an undrafted rookie. This is the first time I saw regression from Charvarius Ward. My answer is no, because I don't feel like they give money to any corners. Maybe I'm wrong here because they just let Breland go, so someone's going to have to play corner for him somewhere. But I still think they're hoping that guy is either Mike Hughes, DeAndre Baker, or Rashad Fenton. And they're going to go that route plus the draft next year going into it. And my guess is by the end of the year, Charvarius Ward does not earn himself an extension.
Right, look at who has more upside. I think that we know they love DeAndre Baker. We didn't get a big glimpse of it last year, but they love DeAndre Baker. They certainly are taking a flyer on Hughes. Both those guys have greater upsides. Both those guys were first-round picks for a reason. It doesn't mean that they're going to be that, but that's what they were coming out of college versus an undrafted guy. Charvarius Ward, I think, is going to be in the league for a while as a solid number three, at times number two corner. He's going to be their number two corner, we think, this year, at least heading into the season, depending on what Baker does. But no, I don't think he gets an extension either, because they have shown that they will just go find another veteran option that can be the third or fourth corner on the team, for example, or they'll go ahead and maybe for the first time in a while actually spend a higher pick at some point in the draft. But when you find L'Jarius Sneed a year ago in the fourth round, it makes
like
it hard for you.
Time,
it makes it hard for you to think that they're going to give an extension to someone like Ward.
All right, related question here for question number two. Can Charvarius Ward hold down his spot all year to ensure that they won't need another outside corner?
So the question is, will Baker or Hughes steal his spot? Or will they feel a need to move L'Jarius Sneed to the slot so that they can line those guys upside? I think Ward's got a spot. Like, I don't think he's going to get an extension, but I also think he does just enough gold not to screw things up to keep where he stays relevant. Because if a spot opens up on the outside, I think that comes with moving Sneed to the slot to guard those more valuable wide receivers, and they'll trust the other guys. But I think Ward, at the very least, holds down his spot this year, although I don't think he gets the extension.
And the change might happen this year, but I continue to emphasize from last year with this cornerback group, they had a bunch of guys that are really solid number twos. That's how I felt about the cornerback group last year. Now they lose Bashaud Breland. He ended up being their number one last year before Sneed kind of came on the scene. I view Charvarius Ward as someone that will get significant playing time. If you're going to look, is he going to out-snap DeAndre Baker across the entire season? Yeah, I think so. As we say that, we got our first roar kind of from the fans here up in St. Joe of Chiefs practice. I believe that might have been, was that Mecole Hardman?
Deep pass to Mecole Hardman.
I believe that was Mecole Hardman.
I'll take that most times. He caught it. Success.
means he's having a huge year. That's all we needed. What else we got, Nick?
Those are the kind of updates that you can only get.
That's right.
Here on Cody and Gold, the only show broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp. All right, last question, and we're going to end on a negative note, I guess. Question number three, will he regress for the second consecutive year?
No, see, I'm not worried about that. I feel like at some
point, I
think he levels out where he's at. He's going to be a fine number two or number three corner in this league. And the good thing is I do believe that they really like what they have behind him. That's going to push him. I think he's well aware of their viewpoint on DeAndre Baker and Hughes. But no, I'm not worried about regression. I think last year might be more what he actually is, but I don't think it gets worse for him.
I would say that, but I would remind you of some recent history when it comes to the Chiefs. There was a stretch of time when people thought Marcus Cooper was a good corner. And then he regressed a little bit, and then Peyton Manning killed him. He died on national television. but then after that, he was never the same guy. It never came. Ward was never picked on to that effect.
I was going to say, that's a shot at Charvarius Ward. Ward's been way more consistent than Marcus Cooper ever
was. I would not rule out a second year of regression, but I am an optimist, so I will say that he does not regress, Nick, for the second consecutive year.
All right, guys, that was the debut of Camp Questions.
Camp Questions.
Camp Questions. How do you guys think
Camp
you did?
Camp Questions. Thank
Who
you.
Who won? Is this a winning
game?
Yeah,
how
did that work?
I didn't know it was a contest.
Did we get scored?
No, we all lost, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Is that how this works? I was just curious.
Yeah, get strapped in.
Our coverage of training camp on 610 Sports Radio, presented by Blue KC. Live healthy with Blue KC. But, yes, I want to go back to Mecole Hardman just for a second because we did just see him in 7-on-7s. That was the first roar from the fans here in St. Joe.
A baby roar.
Yeah, it was by no
means. Tiger on hole three, not seven.
Yeah, it wasn't to win the Masters by any means.
Yeah.
Still.
You just hit Mecole again.
All eyes are on Mecole Hardman throughout camp, I think. We know you know what you're getting from Tyreek Hill. You know what you're getting from Travis Kelce, but it's Mecole Hardman and then the rest of the wide receiving group. You know, DeMarcus Robinson, I feel like those two guys, of course, have solidified their spot. After that, it gets interesting. Byron Pringle, Antonio Callaway, Marcus Kemp. But Mecole Hardman, I don't know if there's been a wide receiver that's not the star wide receiver on a team that's been talked about in a city that like this much.
Yeah.
And it's because he was drafted in the second round. He was drafted because we didn't know what the Tyreek Hill situation was going to be a couple years ago. And frankly, he was drafted because this is a championship team. So you can go through and you're saying, all right, what's the one weakness? And it's one area. You're like, okay, Sammy Watkins is gone. Number two wide receiver. Who steps up?
It's not like he's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, right? A similar ilk, same drafted position, essentially, same drafted round, and he was a complete bust there. He is an effective player for the Chiefs, but again, I've told you, offensively, it's who do you pick on? I can't pick on the brand-new offensive line. I've never seen them fail. I'm not picking on Patrick Mahomes. Tyreek Hill's one of the best wide receivers. So, you know who we end up picking on? Mecole Hardman and whoever the number two tight end is that year. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's Blake Bell or your guy, Nick Kizer.
my guy that, unfortunately for him, he's on the football injury list or non-football injury list.
Or Noah Gray, whatever it's going to be, right? It doesn't matter. He is the target where do you improve? The other guy for that is Clyde. And I know we've talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's going to join us coming up here in about 45 minutes or so for an exclusive one-on-one because we are the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. We're expected to be joined by Travis Kelce tomorrow. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire in 45 minutes, he's the other guy that you say, hey, where can the offense go from third back to first again? The answer is Mecole a little bit better, Clyde a little bit better. You and I agree Clyde wasn't bad, but then even you go through this list over at NFL.com and they've got their breakout players,
as most improved player, which was what I thought was kind of interesting because you're right. I've always said throughout the offseason that Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 1,100 yards or so total offense. Total offense, yes, a couple of the yardage on the ground came in chunks in a couple games in chunks.
Sure.
But people talk about Clyde as if it was a massively disappointing rookie season. Well, maybe if you thought he was going to be a top five back in the league, I understand they drafted him in the first round, but I feel as if that's what happened. People felt like he was going to end up being immediately Brian Westbrook, which we all were excited about, which I think can still happen in terms of him being more involved in the receiving game this year. That's something we want to ask him about when he joins us a little bit later, because does he view his role in the passing game increasing? Was he happy with his role last year in the passing game? This is a full offseason for him. You got to naturally have a better understanding of the offense. I think last year was perfectly fine from him. Do I want to see him more involved in the receiving game? That's where I want to see the jump overall. They don't need him to be a 16.
But it's hard to be most improved if he only gets 350 more yards. Is he the most improved player?
Well,
but
that's
if it
why
was
I don't
Mecole
think
Hardman,
I don't,
you'd say that if you went from 550 to 900.
I don't think he belongs in the most improved category, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Because you're saying he can't improve enough because he played fine anyway.
He had 1,100 total yards of offense on a team that has all kinds of other weapons. Again, one area receiving. But other than that, I don't know what people are overall are expecting. It just goes back to the expectations were built up so crazy for him his rookie season. He certainly can't go down from that. I mean, if we'll have a serious conversation if all of a sudden at the end of the season he gets less than 1,100 yards of total offense. Then it's a, wow, they had a first-round pick for a guy that's going backwards. I don't think that's going to happen.
I like, by the way, that we joke about how you guys had never been stung, and there's just one bee landing on me.
Cody, the bees are all over you, buddy.
Apparently, I'm bee food, and I didn't know it this whole time. You see, it's landed on me like six times.
Because you're so sweet, Cody.
Yeah, there it is.
Thanks, Nick.
Uh-huh.
It's going to sting me eventually, or I'm going to think it's a fly, and then essentially I'm going to sting myself by killing it on my arm.
Stays away from me.
I actually think that it's not unfair to say most improved for Clyde. And I've been very defending of his rookie year because I do still see the kind of thing we talked about last year. You made fun of Steven, our old producer, obviously, and Serta, and you and I both thought he had, I don't know, 1,800 yards or whatever. I had 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns. That, to me, is still the goal for Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year, 1,600 yards, 10 touchdowns. That would be a fair improvement in the touchdown mark, without question.
Touchdowns, yes.
And would still be a 500-yard improvement from what he was last year. When you start talking about 17 games, is that a lot because you get the extra game? But to me, that's a good size jump for a player to make. It's not very often to me players go from, oh, that guy couldn't play, to everyday starter. So that's the kind of jump I'm looking for out of anybody I consider kind of one of their okay or pretty good offensive weapons versus their great ones.
See, I think it's a guy like Willie Gay Jr. who has much more room to improve. He struggled to get on the field. As we know that, we kept track of snaps on a weekly basis. This year, and as we just witnessed right in front of us as we're up in St. Joe, he was out there with the first team linebackers, with Anthony Hitchens. It was Willie Gay with Ben Neiman, at least early going on the 7-on-7 drills. And now keep an eye as
Chad hitting Noah Gray.
Yeah,
now, so Noah, let's not get too.
Yeah, too I was gonna say, look over there. It wasn't Patrick Mahomes over there by any means.
That was a laser by Henny. How dare you? That was a bullet. He hit Noah Gray in stride.
I think the answer though is Willie Gay Jr. on most improved for this team going forward. That's who you would. To me, I would rather it be if you told me between the two because you would
take Clyde's exact year and you wouldn't take Willie Gay's
100%. And it sets you up for the future more so, in my opinion, because running backs' shelf life is small anyway.
Willie Gay's gonna start. He's going to be improved just because he's going to play more. Like, you'll notice it more. The same as, last year, I thought Damian Wilson did a perfectly fine job. But in a weird way, if Willie Gay just did a perfectly fine job this year, would you be okay? Gold, would you feel good about that? Would you feel good about his perfectly fine job?
Solid all around, because I think naturally he's going to bring more athleticism than they've had.
He'll make some plays other guys won't stand out
because you'll be like, man, I haven't seen someone from the linebacker spot make a play like that
since
in
Johnson.
Years. Yes, since
Most
Derek
likely.
Johnson.
Hopefully and a young Nick, Derek Johnson.
We'll see later on. Yeah, no, but naturally, sure. I mean, later on we'll see, does Nick Bolton get any reps at some point with the ones? That's something as time progresses throughout camp. Right now they're on the far side of the field from where we're at. In front of us, you just got the special teams guys kind of kicking the ball around. I think your guy Harrison Butker's over there. Maybe he's got another hoodie for you. I'm not sure. But on the
Nick doesn't even know about that.
Yeah,
he doesn't
Nick
even
doesn't
know
about Harrison Butker hoodie curse.
Would you like an update on that, Nick? Would you like to know?
It's not an update. I just need to be filled in.
So what happened was Harrison Butker, around this time last year during training camp, was a guest on this show before the season had started. Gold had asked him because he has a clothing line. He's like, hey, man, I don't think any other kicker has a clothing line. That was established. And then I asked him for a hoodie in the interview. I just said, hey, can I get a hoodie? He said, what? So that was my chance to get out. And I said, can I get a hoodie?
It's a nice hoodie, too.
And he said, sure. So he sent me one, and then Harrison Butker went through a real case of the yips. So people thought the hoodie was the problem because seemingly when I was wearing it, the problems would mean. But in last year's Cody and Gold Garage Sale, it sold for $250. Someone bought it just to end the curse. So, I don't know, maybe I can get a new good luck hoodie.
So you don't even have the hoodie anymore.
I don't even own it anymore.
No, well, we made him.
I need a new one from him.
So somebody else is cursed now.
He updated his clothing line. So if we have a chance to have him on the show again, I think we have to explain to him what happened. I don't know if he'll like that, but we have to explain to him what happened.
Yeah, does he know? Does he know
no,
you sold the hoodie?
No.
It was for a good cause. I should at least
explain
that.
He'll be okay with it. It went to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, so he'll be okay with that. And it hopefully doesn't roll over into this year. I don't think you're allowed. Like if we get his new pullovers sent to us, I don't think you're allowed to have it. It goes to Nick. Maybe we try it with Nick. I think Nick gets to try it and see. We got to find out people feel like you and I are bad luck. We got to find out, is Nick going to reverse things a little bit?
He's going to bring us back into the good. Have you ever been accused of being bad luck, Nick? That'd be good to know now.
No,
I
never. Okay. So I think if anything, I'll provide some positive mojo that maybe you guys were missing.
God, it's like right as we were talking about, he just missed a kick.
Did he miss that one?
Yeah, that one was to the right.
Mm-hmm. Right as I say that, he just shanks one off the upper.
That's right.
That's exactly how this would go.
One missed kick. Are you concerned, Cody?
I'm going to let it go, I think, for now.
You're going to be all right with that one?
I think for now, I'll let it go. At least on this end, I feel confident that we could do it. We will not talk to Harrison Butker today, so we don't have to worry.
We are expecting, though, not only Clyde Edwards-Helaire one-on-one exclusively here on 610, but Andy Reid's going to speak today. We're going to also hear from Tyrann Mathieu, Joe Tooney, and potentially, we're told potentially later on in the day, that's not a done deal yet, potentially Frank Clark, which I know we all would like to hear from him, certainly with the offseason that he has had.
Yeah.
But he is here. He's practicing. There's no surprises. Tyrann Mathieu's here. No surprise, despite not having an extension done, at least as of right now.
He was tweeting about it last night.
He was. We're going to get to his tweets because they weren't song lyrics anymore. You know, I'm not the lyric guy. I'm not the music guy. But I do know the difference between some lyrics.
It's going to turn out this is like a Wiz Khalifa song and you don't even know it.
Maybe so. But I just know with what he tweeted last night, it was definitely not just lyrics to a song. He had sent out a tweet later last night that said, so 28 is prime of career, but not 29. And of course, Tyrann Mathieu is 29 years old. So that's definitely related to the lack of a contract extension as we sit here on the first day of full practice up in St. Joe for Chiefs training camp. Coming up next, we'll continue our coverage from up here at Chiefs camp. And Dayton Moore spoke about the trade deadline, which is a little over 48 hours away. It'll be Friday at 3 o'clock. How aggressive are they going to be? Are they going to stand pat? We get into that next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, back here in St. Joe for Chiefs training camp. It's Cody and Gold, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Butker's kick was just off the goalpost. Just letting you know.
Thank you.
Made one since we started talking about him?
Well, let's see. We get a good snap. Remember, this is a different long snapper. Winchester, you know, he's on the COVID list, unfortunately. Not the best snap in the world.
Who's going to give you this kind of breakdown?
And, you know, and the kick's good this go around.
It's good.
There we go.
You're square.
There you go. That's what, if you want your kicking updates, we got them for you. You want to know how Butker's looking? We got it.
I'm only know about the other players as well, but currently they're still just running 7-on-7.
Yeah, and on the other field.
Not the first team.
Yeah.
So we're not going to give you a full breakdown of that.
It's definitely Chad Henne still at quarterback on the other field, a diagonal from us here at Chiefs training camp. But again, earlier when Mahomes was out there, one of the bigger plays that had the biggest crowd reaction was a Mecole Hardman long pass at this point in time. But it's just good to be back up here in St. Joe. Plenty of fans enjoying camp, and everybody's got their fans that they were handed out or whatever to everybody, because it is a muggy one today for Chiefs camp, but the crowds are only going to increase as we get going later on this week as well. We're expected, as soon as this practice wraps up, which should be in about 25, 30 minutes or so, we're expected to be joined by Clyde Edwards-Helaire at one-on-one here on 610 Sports Radio. But in about, 55 hours or so will be the MLB trade deadline, 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and what are the Royals going to do? There's more noise than ever, as we've discussed this week, as we asked Whit Merrifield around his name. Do you move Mike Minor? Is Danny Duffy actually still an option to be moved? Dade Moore had a press conference media availability yesterday and was asked about kind of where things are at and just how aggressive will they be. Here's what he had to say about, hey, if we're going to move one of our key contributors, what has to happen?
Don't expect us to do any deals moving our core group of specialty position players and starting pitchers that, we feel are part of our future. And, of course, we'll evaluate, every potential deal that's out there. But I would basically categorize it as, we've really got to be overwhelmed if we're going to move, one of our key contributors to this team. And those players that we feel are key contributors, into the future. And so we like our farm system. We feel like we have a lot of young players on the horizon that'll be a part of our team in 22 and 23. And so we're going to continue to trust our scouting and our player development to produce prospects and not necessarily rely on trades to strengthen our farm system.
If you just hear that, you say, oh, well, they're not making any trades. But let's also keep in mind, it's a couple days before the trade deadline, and he might completely be bluffing at this point in time. Although,
but
history would show that they're not transactional. Is this the year where there's a sudden shift from that? Because based on that audio and some of the track record, you would say, yeah, they're not going to end up moving anybody of significance to get pieces. Because you can talk about building your farm system, you can talk about improving your roster. One of the things you have to do is be active near the trade deadline. Nobody's saying to give Whit Merrifield away for nothing. Absolutely not. But if you hear that, is that a message to everybody else that he's trying to send? Like, look, you know, trying to play that game where it's like, we're not trading essentially our contributors unless you're going to blow us away. Because there's some of that, I think, going on too.
This is very similar messaging multiple years in a row, and he hasn't traded. So I don't think it's a bluff. I think he's dead serious. I think the Royals have been less transactional than other teams, partially because they don't like to move players, but also partially, Gold, because they value their players more than other franchises value their players. So when they start having these conversations about who they're going to trade and what they're going to get, they tend to think their players are worth more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Then the teams outside of their organization seem to think so. And I think that that's a big part of the reason. The issue I take with part of this is, Dayton, on multiple occasions, including on this show, has said they could have been more transactional over the years, and that could have sped things up or moved things along. So he recognizes part of the flaw in being nice to people, which is, again, not a bad thing, but part of the flaw from an organizational perspective is it slows things down. The other part about that we're not going to build our organization through trades is they won the World Series on the back of two trades. They traded Zach Greinke when he was still under control for two future starters for their organization in two World Series years, and then they later traded their number one prospect and several other high prospects for valuable members of their team, including James Shields, Wade Davis, and then they traded away Sean Manaea to eventually get Ben Zobrist. And so trades were the fundamental foundation of what eventually got you there. I'm not just saying trade to trade. I'm certainly not there. But I do think this team does need to start looking to be more transactional, or they fall into the same pitfalls they have before.
If you are the Royals right here, and you're seeing also with where your young pitching development has gone, is there not also some more incentive at this point, Cody, to be a little bit transactional around the deadline? Like, not as if Daniel Lynch and Kowar both came up immediately and rocked it. Daniel Lynch is coming off a very, very, very nice outing and the best outing.
Looking forward to his
next time. And he'll start this weekend, which is going to be nice to see. I think he'll actually start in Toronto for the game on Friday. But with those arms, doesn't that also lead you to being a little more transactional in terms of, hey, okay, we feel like maybe these are our young pitchers of the future, but we've got to make sure we have the position players to back it up. At the same time, it's the debate that we had earlier this week about Whit Merrifield. It's like, do you think in 2 years that Whit Merrifield is going to be a key part of this team and a key part of a playoff run, or do you feel like...
When you say the future, what do you mean? Next year or, like, going forward?
Right, right. I mean, that's the question they have to answer internally and figure out, and I'm sure they have already gotten their answer on what they truly believe. And nothing that's happened in the last week should alter anybody's opinion on what they should do for the long haul. I don't, you know, they lost last night, winning 6 in a row prior to that. None of that, Jorge Soler, to me, none of that should alter how you view it. I'm not going to let what's happened in the last 2 weeks, heck, even the month of July, alter my thinking on what I'm going to do for it for next season.
No, but a lot of this is self-evaluation based, but it is frustrating. And at the same time, you can kind of respect it. People get really frustrated because you can both not be critical enough of Dayton in some people's eyes, because if I say, hey, Dayton's done a good job in Kansas City, I'll get he only has 3 winning seasons in almost 15 years, because this one doesn't look like it's going to be a winning season. And then the people come back and be like, ring. He has a ring. What matters more than that? And I still say, you got to count out, you got to throw out those first like 5 years of Dayton Moore's run. He took over the worst run franchise in all of baseball. I'm sorry, was he supposed to have a winning year in year 1 or 2 or 3 when he took over a bad farm system, an aging major league roster, and nobody could win? No. So it's really like he's had 3 winning seasons in the last 10. Not good enough as a grouping, but when you put a World Series on top of it, gold, and another pennant, it is. It is good enough. But now we're starting to turn the page of where we would talk about, you know, we're a Chiefs training camp. Right now the conversation isn't Patrick Mahomes better win a new ring soon, but if it's 5 years from now and he doesn't have a second ring, or 3 years from now.
I would argue, Cody, that conversation as it relates to Mahomes starts after this season if he doesn't win it. That's what's going to happen more, or not.
And partially because we put such a big amount of pressure on him. The Royals are not Patrick Mahomes, so it turns less quickly on Dayton than it does on Patrick. But that's the thing. There is a timeline in which the World Series being 6 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, depending on how far in the future you get before you're a winning organization again, saying the, like, good guy stuff sometimes starts to wane on people. And I think that that's what's happening here around the trade deadline.
And how much belief do you have that guys like Nick Prado and Bobby Witt Jr. are going to be able to come up and be contributors right away? This was what Dade Moore had to say about the farm system and some of the depth that they do have in the minors.
We like our farm system. We're not currently talking about any players in our farm system that we would potentially deal. I mean, we've got a group that we feel is getting really, really close to being major league ready, and some of those guys that are very athletic and they can move around the diamond. But as we've said before, I mean, still in the early stages with a lot of those guys. I mean, some of those guys have just gotten to Triple A. Some of them are still in Double A. And just like we were talking the other day, Lynn, I mean, it's a huge gap between the minor leagues and the major leagues. And so we're going to be patient with players and continue to let them develop and grow and mature and hopefully just really force our hand to make a decision on when to call them up to the major leagues. But we're in the process of, again, just making sure that we hold on to as much depth as we can in our minor league system and continue to develop it. I mean, our minor league players are very, very young.
There's no better example of two players that might force your hand than what we've seen this entire minor league year from Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, trying to talk me into like delaying Bobby Witt Jr. I refuse.
Now, I do think there's plenty of truth because we've seen it in the idea that the gap from AAA to Major League Baseball is maybe bigger than ever for this year for a variety of reasons, as we've talked with
entire Miss Minor League
JJ Piccolo when he's joined us on the show. And look at Wander Franco down in Tampa, or the kid up in Seattle, that their top prospect, who's back up, by the way, with the Mariners, and he's struggling again. I think those are all things that you have to factor in to your decision-making on that. But if you think next year that, okay, Nick Prado, Bobby Witt Jr. can be key pieces we can rely on, oh, and we can bring back Whit Merrifield, and you feel like Brad Keller will be back to what he was able to do a year ago, and you feel, you know, there's a lot of ands, they feel like they have the talent, then that might be their response to if we get past 3 o'clock on Friday and why maybe they haven't made a trade. I think they will make a trade. The question is, are they moving Santana? Are they moving a Whit Merrifield? Are they moving Michael A. Taylor, who to me is should be moved? I don't see the point of him being on the team the rest of the season.
He essentially said, don't count on us necessarily making a trade. They got 13 guys I could make an argument you can trade.
Bullpen guys, we've gone over a couple of the options. I told you I would.
Zimmer's
take,
not
I,
pitching
I,
well right
I,
now.
I know, and Zimmer was at the top of the list for me based on his injury history. Trade him while he's healthy. So we'll find out as we get closer and closer to Friday at 3 o'clock for Major League Baseball's trade deadline. We're up here in St. Joe, Chiefs training camp, and our training camp coverage on 610 Sports Radio is presented by Blue KC. Live healthy with Blue KC. Practice probably going to wrap up here in the next couple of minutes as they wrap up a little bit more 7-on-7. It's still just the second teams, Cody. You getting that from
first
this?
Team. It is, again,
Chad
first
Henney,
team went back out there for another set.
Yeah.
Our guy Nate Taylor said Willie Gay looks better than any other linebacker on the field. I say the low bar. But
well, the athleticism showcasing itself, hopefully, which is what he's going to have to do this year. Does he have a firm understanding now of the defense? If that was the primary reason for his lack of snaps, if that's the case, and he knows the defense, that he can just go out there and play and showcase the athleticism. It's Hitchens, it's Gay, it's been Neiman so far out there with the ones when we've seen the linebackers. And again, the offensive line, that's the one thing we'll continue to follow throughout camp. But right now, it's a rookie at center in Creed Humphrey. It's a rookie at right guard in Trey Smith, but it's the veteran Mike Rimmers at right tackle. When practice wraps up, we're expected to be joined by Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so perhaps around 11, a little bit after 11 o'clock, and then you'll hear also from Andy Reid and Tyron Matthew and potentially a few other players as well as we continue here from Missouri Western State. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 5 minutes or so, but I think there's an example of what's going on down in Oklahoma that if you're KU and, for that matter, K-State, you should be taking notes. So Bob Stoops, you probably never thought Bob Stoops would be writing a column in a newspaper, but he wrote an op-ed for the Tulsa World yesterday.
You think he wrote it?
Yeah. Why? Wait. You know, someone edited it, like anything. Like there was an editor, I'm sure. But why would you think Bob Stoops wouldn't write a piece?
Same reason I don't think Tom Brady writes his own tweets all the time.
Tweets and an op-ed are a little bit different. It's his opinion. You don't think Bob Stoops? I believe it. He's been out of football a little bit. He's very knowledgeable.
Yeah, he is.
Seems like a smart guy. So he wrote an op-ed defending why Oklahoma's leaving the SEC. I'm sure the university asked him to, like, hey, you know, we'll give this opportunity to the paper. Can you write something? We're trying to calm the feelings that people in the state of Oklahoma have right now. Because people
really anybody who's happy or
Oklahoma
likes
State
Oklahoma
fan.
State. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, there's a line in there that I think says it all about if you're KU or K-State. And it says, the strongest conferences would not accept OU if we were to require Oklahoma State to join as well. I don't recall sharing my game plan with Coach Gundy every year. Now, I'm not comparing KU to Oklahoma in this example. I'm not comparing Oklahoma State to K-State.
You kind of are, but not
in the, oh, KU's on the same playing field as Oklahoma.
That would be an awesome thing for you to try to say on the radio.
Yeah, let me try to convince you on that one. But I am using them in terms of that's the same situation in general that could play out here. And if you're KU, to me, you should be taking notice. If you're K-State, you should be warned by this as well. If you're KU and another conference comes along, let's just use the Big Ten in this example, and they offer you, you should not be worried about carrying K-State with you. If you're K-State, I don't think it would work this way, but if K-State was offered Pac-12, they should not be worried about carrying KU with them.
Unless the Pac-12 says you need to bring KU
Correct.
With you.
You have to look out for yourself. I just think let that column, that line from Bob Stoops be a lesson for KU, for K-State, really any of these schools involved in realignment. You have to look out for number one, and it's you in your mind. And I know people will say, well, the Board of Regents, what do they think? Board of Regents, as of 2011, preferred KU and K-State to stick together. And as of 2011, there was nothing that, you know, there was no legal aspect that
kept you desperation time
together.
Right? Like, and that's the thing. There is no legal recourse. Does K-State really think KU or vice versa is going to hold out for the other? I wouldn't if I were any of these schools. If I were anybody who was looking to move around, I wouldn't be loyal to anybody. I wouldn't be loyal to anybody else in the Big 12. I wouldn't be worried about Iowa State either if I were the Kansas. Let's say that they got a chance at the Big 10, and we both think I think it's a little more narrow than you that they end up in the Big 10. I wouldn't put it – it's not zero, but it's certainly not, you know, right at that number either, Gold. And so I just think that – if you're Kansas, the only, and I do mean the only person you got to worry about is how can you pay a buyout if you got to leave the Big 12, and can you get in another power conference? And if you can't, then you have to make the decision of is it better to move to a different smaller conference that's already established, or can you help make the Big 12 the best of the Power Six? And the only way to do that is to go talk to Bowlesby and say,
or the,
hey, it's
the group
expansion,
of six,
or the group of six.
Yeah, I'll say.
It'll be time for the group of six. It'll be time for you to say, hey, Bob, it can't just be eight of us if we're going to be the best group of six. We got to have all these other players. We got to have all these, you know, we got to bit all these other teams in the mix. Otherwise, we can't do it. And so to me, it's about saving yourself first and getting in a power conference. Big 12's dead on that department. Go to the Big 10, go to the Pac-12, go to the ACC or the SEC, well, whatever you can do. And if you can't, start deciding if it's better to try to save the Big 12 as a good power six or a group of six, or try to move
the revenue dips way too much for you to be like, I'm okay with kind of keeping the Big 12 together. You can't be all right with that if you're any of the local schools.
No, but
or
can
any
you get it
eight.
To 12 million instead of, like, you know, 8 million in the AAC or 9.5 million in
the
AAC?
Yeah, but just look, these schools right now in the Big 12 are getting $35, $32 million in revenue. If you're K-State, you're KU, you think about the impact that that has on your budgets, those employees, everything, the recruits you can get, all of it. You're not relevant anymore once you go to the group of five. And we can make all the jokes we want. Of course, KU football has been irrelevant in general, but they still are the revenue driver of the university. Yes, Kansas has a national basketball brand, but it's not a national football brand. Otherwise, it's completely
It is
completely
for a comedy
different reason.
For
what?
People know Kansas football because...
Yeah, it's a national brand of being bad. Is that what you're getting at? Yeah.
I think it's more known, honestly. I think Kansas football is more known than some of those, like, mid-tier programs that never really do much. Right? That just, like, win four or five games and just live in obscurity. I think Kansas football is more well-known than that, just based on, not their players, but the program because of how bad they are.
Let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, trash of the day is brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. So Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis say they don't believe in bathing their kids.
What?
Or themselves too much. Now, you have kids, so I'm fascinated to get your answer on this. The quote from Kutcher in this piece, if you can see the dirt on them, clean them. Otherwise, there's no point.
That's every day. Every day I see dirt on my kids, Gold.
Cody's yelling at me. Cody's screaming at me for some reason.
What do you mean if you see dirt on your kids? You see dirt on your kids literally every single day. Every single moment of every single day you see dirt on your kids. Of course, they're going to be dirty every day. Why wouldn't you clean yourself or your kids? They're talking like once a month in this thing. Once a month? Can you imagine how bad you'd stink?
Wait, so it's not just the kids? It's them as well?
It's both of them. Yep.
It's them too,
it's
man.
It's their complete philosophy. Look, if they come out to Chiefs camp, you know, maybe Mila Kunis is a big Chiefs fan.
I'm going to take a second shower today.
Look, the first thing when I get home this afternoon is to take a shower. I mean, it's all these fans out here, I bet you that's one of the first things on their mind. Everybody's sweating their butts off out here at Chiefs training camp. So the idea that not their kids, their kids are going to school and they're known as the stinky kids. You don't want your kids being the stinky kids at school.
I'm not going to lie. There are times, plenty of times, right, when it's difficult or you're a little late to get the kid a bath. My kids don't get a bath every day. Okay, not every day. I try to do it every other day or every third day.
Text line says every 3 to 4 days.
Okay, Cody.
3 days is probably right.
Cody, you're a dad, so you're gravitating towards the children aspect of this. As Alex and I both don't have kids, I feel like I'm naturally wanting to focus on the fact that the adults don't bathe.
Now, do you think it's also because, look, they're both extremely wealthy based on their successful careers, and they live in a very nice house and all that. Do you think it's one of those where if you're that, like, you really don't care what anybody thinks?
Well, Kutcher says he does wash his armpits and his crotch daily and nothing else ever.
With what?
Ever.
Like bird bathing and just a washcloth?
So he's like, I'm going to keep that. Well, look, he's...
You sweat other
where's
places,
this,
Ashton.
Where's this take Mila Kunis for you, Alex?
Like,
does this
if
knock
she's
her down
a 10
a peg?
Before?
Yeah.
It doesn't knock her down much at all.
9.9.
Like, if you told me in order to be with Mila Kunis that I couldn't shower for 2 weeks, I'm in. Are you kidding me?
You'll figure it out.
I'm just in.
Just straight from camp. You'd just go straight
Look,
home and
it's
just that, never
not,
shower?
Not for many people, but for Mila Kunis, if you said, hey, go in order to meet up with her, and then, yes, let's just say have sex with Mila Kunis.
You're just going to say it, huh?
Yeah, you know, okay. 2 weeks without showering going into it. Except you can clean, you know, the groin area as Ashton,
with a washcloth.
Yeah, then we're good to go.
I love this hypothetical scenario where Mila Kunis is like, Alex, I'd really love to sleep with you,
but well, are you don't bathe.
Yeah, are you still interested in me if I don't bathe?
That's what she's into, man. I'm good. That's the case. That's what she's into.
Like, thanks for checking, Mila, but I'm still good.
Well, you're going to tell her no if she came to you and said that?
She's not saying that.
No, say it's no? just the scenario that she's asking you.
Well, yeah.
That she's are you okay with this? sweetie, honey, baby?
Text line agrees. Someone says she could not shower for weeks. They're fine with it. She's fine as hell. I fully agree. Fully agree on this. Now, I would love to know.
Maybe she'll let you bathe her.
Oh, that's getting weird.
That's fine with me as well.
We just found out what Nick's into.
Yeah, now we know. So that's what you were doing in Salt Lake City. It wasn't the Garth Brooks concert. I see.
The hotel bathtub was big enough to accommodate his needs.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Look, whatever.
Someone says gives
you
new meaning to the word dirty
sex. Shame on this. We don't kink shame on this show.
Text line. As a dermatologist, I tell my clients that they do not need to bathe every day. And even when you shower, you'll need to clean the important parts every day.
This guy's a dermatologist?
Every couple days.
I shower every day.
Yeah, every morning. I have to do it in the morning because it wakes me up. I won't do the night before shower thing because it wakes me up in the morning.
I'm a morning shower.
And again, for the next 3 weeks, it's the next 3 weeks, it's twice a day as we're up here at and Chiefs camp. No question about that. All right, coming up next, we'll see as Chiefs practice is actually still going on. It's supposed to wrap up here in the next 5 minutes or so, and then we'll be joined by Clyde Edwards-Alaire as we continue our Chiefs training camp coverage here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.